Come on, you may have a seat. Give somebody a high five and say, don't quit. Come on, turn to the other side and say, never give up. Come on, church, what is it when you get that, man? What is it, no matter if you feel like all the sides are just coming in on you and you feel pressure on every side and you come to this place saying, it's going to be okay. There's no quitting me. I'm not going to give up. I believe there's something new around the corner. I believe he's crushing me, but in that, man, game is not over. Man, I'm just beginning, for he is with me. He will never leave me. He will not forsake me, and he promises me. He promises me that I shall reap if I don't give up. What an amazing God we serve. Church, the encouragement this morning is don't quit, no matter where you're at. Don't ever give up. Don't ever give up. You stand your ground in him. Come on. Come on, welcome to Believer's Chapel, man. We are juiced that you are with us. I hope that you have... My voice is just crushed today. Come on. Man, I hope that you have had a great week. Man, I hope you come into this place just juiced and fired up. Sunday is my favorite day of the week, man. I love being in the house. I love being with God's people. I love this community, and I hope that you've had a great week. And I hope that as we've been in this series called Lead with Grace, I hope that you have been able to practice that. I hope that you've been able to really practice what it means to lead with grace, whether it's at the grocery store, whether it's truly in your own home, in your own marriage, whether it's with your kids, whether it's at work, whatever that looks like, to love like Jesus, to have the grace that Jesus has, to function in a place to know, man, it's way above us to realize it's unearned, it's undeserved, and I can never pay it back in the way that his grace works, but we're called as people, as grace bearers, to walk out grace and to extend grace. And I hope that this is last message in this series today, and I'm so excited for it, but I hope that we can walk into place to realize what grace looks like. And I hope that we can show people in our worlds what grace looks like. And I'm pumped for today, man. I had a great, as you know, it's just kind of a funny story on what grace looks like. As Renee and I were out, we were shopping. We were in Niagara Falls, and we were doing some shopping. And we were driving, and there was this traffic jam due to construction. And you know, traffic is going like 1 mile an hour, and then you stop, and you've got just cars upon cars. You can't see the end, right? And we're in the middle. And me being the patient man that I am, there was this young lady in front of us. And the cars in front of her have long gone. And she's just on her phone, right? And there's a huge line behind us. It's traffic. And literally for 15 seconds is a very long time of person to be on their phone when there's nobody in front of them. And I was patient. Until the second time. And here she just, there's a point, and she just kind of went down to her phone again. And then there's this 15, 20 second gap. And I did everybody behind me a favor. They were my friends, man. I did everybody. And then I said, enough is enough. And I'm just in love and grace in Jesus' name, hit the horn. And just said, woman, what are you doing, right? Like, get off. Like, this is not the time to be on your phone when we're inch by inch, half a mile, 3 miles, catching up, slowing down. You're on your phone. Bad idea. And I'm just like letting her know I'm behind you. And there's a lot of you ain't not the only woman on the road, right? So, and then we get to that open road to get to pass. And my wife was so gracious. She's like, remember what's on your car? Cross equals love. Remember that? Grace, husband, grace. Cross equals love. In Jesus' name, we're honking you out of the way. It was, I was patient for a minute. But she laughs at me. That's a true story. She's like, cross equals love, honey. Cross equals love. It's a sticker, remember, on your car so she can read, oh, Believer's Chapel. I see. I'm the pastor. Go get on it. Here we go. Man, we love our campaign right now. If you've seen the billboards, we're juiced. They will be changing locations, same billboard. We're pumped. Grab that decal. Put it on your car. Let everyone know that cross certainly does equal love. And our King and our Savior hung on that cross for the sins of the world. And we're juiced about that for the whole world to know. Come on. Amen? Come on, let's pray. Father, thank you so much for today. Thank you for our time of worship. It was beautiful. Jesus, you are amazing. We love you. Jesus, we owe you everything. We are amazed by you. We owe you our lives. We owe you our time. We owe you our praise. We owe you our worship. And I just pray that today we just sink in as we look to your grace. Just truly how amazing your grace is. Jesus, when we know the depth of your grace, it should put us to the floor. We should never have a problem in worship. We should never have a problem to praise. Father, I'm just asking by your Spirit that you would just give me an anointing in this to be able to make this so crystal clear that it's been made so clear to me of truly how amazing your grace is. Lord, help me to speak this today, that you would speak through me in such a real way that not one of us walk out this place the same. Help us to have an understanding of your grace like we may not have seen before. Or let it be just a reminder today. Let it be a reminder today of your great grace. In Jesus' name. Come on, amen. Man, I want to start by just letting us know, man, we're going to go a little deeper today. We're going to get into a place of we've been preaching on grace. We've been looking at these amazing pictures of grace from these amazing people, Old Testament, New Testament, that truly were recipients of the grace of Christ and how he functioned in grace. But then I narrow it down today to say, what about me? And what about you? To realize that we are recipients of grace. We've seen these amazing pictures throughout the scripture. But what does it look like when you and I come to this place to narrow it down to me? It's personal. His grace is amazing to me. I get it. I don't have to have you get it for me to get it. I get it. I know the depth of his grace. And when you define grace, like it's like kind of opening that present that maybe somebody gave to you, and you kind of open that gift and you're just like, I don't know. I don't know what this is. And of course you don't say that, like, oh, it's great. Thank you. I love it. Oh, you thought about me. Oh, you really know me. Look at this gift. You know me. It's amazing. Thank you. And then they walk away and you're like, I have no idea what this thing is. What do you do with this? Like, what is it? Is it a tie or is it like, I don't even know what this is. Like, and you go in, and I think sometimes that can be, honestly, I think that's where we can be with grace. We know the definition. It's unearned, undeserved, and you can never pay it back. Amen. But what is it? It's unearned. It's undeserved. And you can't pay it back. Yeah, I know the Greek and Hebrew definition. I get it. I can't earn it. I don't deserve it. And I can never pay it back. I get it. But what is it? And as I go through scripture and as I look, I see that it goes so much further than a definition. It goes to a person. That when I see Jesus, I see grace. When I look, that grace was displayed on a cross for me and for you. I see where that grace is a person. And I see where Jesus Christ took the hit for you and I on the cross. And it was, listen to this, it was by grace that you have been saved through faith. So today I want to go a little deeper because we can go real shallow with the definition. It's unearned. I don't deserve it. I can never pay it back. And when you begin to define, so again, I'm one who you hear me say often, when you see scripture and you begin to define scripture, ask questions. Okay, if it means that I don't deserve grace, but yet I've been given grace, then to know, watch this now, watch this, to know the depths of grace, I should probably know what I deserved. Because, Sean, if you're telling me that grace is so amazing, and the title this morning is It Too Good to Be True, which means we've been given grace, and it's this huge, huge biblical word. It is the center of attention of Scripture, Old Testament and New Testament. Jesus is the center of attention of the Scripture, and grace is the center of attention of Jesus. For by grace you have been saved. It is by which we have been saved is grace. So we need to go just a little deeper to say, okay, yeah, oh yes, amazing grace, amen, perfect. But watch. What happens when grace truly comes into your spirit and your heart? Because you actually begin to realize what we actually deserved. And when you begin to break down what I actually deserve, you begin to see grace as maybe a little bigger than I actually thought it was. It goes way beyond just the simplicity of a definition. It goes into, you mean I have, because of his grace, I realize I deserve that, and there's no way out of that by myself had it not been for his grace. Come on, look at Ephesians 2 with me, please. Ephesians 2, I want to start with 8 and 9, and it says this, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. Let me read that again. For by grace you have been saved through faith. It is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. So this package deal of grace. And today we're not looking at these amazing personalities of Scripture. We're not looking at these true stories of the men and women of Scripture that received Jesus' attention when he was here on the earth. We look at me and you now, and we make this thing personal. What does grace have to do with me? It was great for Peter and his corrupts. It was great for the women with the issue of blood. We can just go down all of these characters. But what does it have to do with me? Church, when you realize the depth of grace for you, it should put us on our face. But when you really begin to see the reality of Scripture, that it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. It is not of yourselves. It's a gift. You can't earn it. You don't deserve it. And you can never pay this gift back. Okay, so what is it that I deserve then? Watch it. Verse 1. Chapter 2, verse 1. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins. And you were dead. The word dead here is thanatos, and it means that you are separated from God and life for an eternity. And you gotta buy into some truth here, church, okay? Listen, you gotta buy into some truth that biblically speaking, there's only two teams. There's God's team and there's Satan's team. That's it. And there's only two eternities. There's heaven and there's hell. And when you begin to buy in, first you have to start with the biblical truth, and you have to break it down to simple. You have to make it simple. It simply is this. Two teams, two eternities. One is God's team forever in heaven. The other is Satan's team forever in hell. Well, who decides who goes there? Well see, that's the understanding here I need us to get. Please hear this. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. When Adam came in and sin entered the world, it was by one man that sin entered the world. And through that, all died and all have sinned. We got to go a little deep this morning, because you can't just play around with grace unless you really begin to understand I really truly needed to be saved. And the only way that I could be saved was by grace, because biblically speaking, what I actually deserved was Gehenna. Gehenna is the Greek word for hell. And when you understand hell is the place for everyone who's ever breathed. Listen, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, which means every single person's destination, it should be. Watch this. What do we deserve? It should be a place called hell. And death means a spiritual death, where I am going to eternally be separate from God and his life. But grace. And sometimes, honestly, we have this false picture of hell. You know, I've heard it said, well, I'm just going to grab the kegger and just party with everyone else I partied with for life. Well, come on, it can't be that bad. No, you see in Matthew 25:41, Jesus actually speaks to hell. And he says, listen, I made hell for Satan and his demons. That was the creation of hell. It's not party central. It's not, oh, I'm going to know you and you're going to know me. We're going to give high fives in hell and we're just going to dance the night away. No, you see, in sin, it causes hell. And in hell, there is an eternity of pain and punishment. Hell was designed and created by God for punishment. And you're just like, oh, this is just a great message. I feel so encouraged right now. Man, if this is your first time here, man, I can't believe I invited somebody today. A man's talking about hell. No, I'm talking about grace. Because the reality is this, when you know that your destination outside of Christ on the cross, outside the grace of God, my destination should be hell. Because I realize, man, in my sin, I deserve death. That's what the Bible says. In my sin, I deserve hell. And in hell, there's punishment, and there's gnashing of teeth, and there's outer darkness, and there's fire for eternal. And it's just, and it is this place, this desolate place of absolute pain, misery, and punishment. Church, that's what I deserve because of my sin. And you look at this in Ephesians 2, and it says this, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you were formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and power of the air, the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them, we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging in the desires of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. Watch this. Here it is. Here's where we make kind of a turn here. Because when you begin to break down grace, you begin to identify, I don't deserve this. I know in my spirit, I know that I deserve death because of my sin. But God, amen, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us. But God being rich in mercy, mercy here is compassion. For who? For the lost, for his creation, for those who are dead in their trespass and sin. That's all have sinned and fall short. This includes every single one of us. So when you go to the depth of what I actually deserved, what I know that I rightfully deserve. But God, watch this now, verse 4. But God being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he has loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together in Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised up with him, seated us with him in heavenly places. Now watch this, watch this. You got to get this because this speaks of your position. Where is our position? Our position is in Christ. Our position, because of grace, is seated in the heavenly places. Listen, when you begin to break down, there's two huge P's that we really screw up in life. It's performance versus position. Church, what happens when you really begin to understand it is my position in Christ that matters, not my performance base that matters? This is huge today in the church because there's everything in our world that's based off of performance. You get evaluated at work, it's based off your performance. At times, unfortunately, marriage is based off of performance. What have you done for me lately? Children, based off of performance at time. How much have you obeyed me? When you, listen, everything in life pretty much, we are trained, has to do with performance. That's why it can be so difficult. It can be so hard for you and I to come to actually buy in to the truth that in Christ, it's not performance-based. It's my position. And so what happens when we are trained day in and day out, we're trained about our performance. I'm going to go to work and I want to do the best I can. I want that bonus. I want that. I work hard. And there's nothing wrong with that. We want to work hard. We want that bonus. We want to have a performance base at work. The bonus will come. Man, the bosses will notice. When I sit down to get my evaluation, they're going to notice my performance. And man, when I'm at home, I want to have a great performance for my wife. I want to be able to do the dishes, man. I want to be able to do the vacuum. I don't vacuum much, but I do dishes. She's laughing at me right now. She's totally laughing at me when I said vacuum. I don't even know what the vacuum is, but I know where the dishwasher is. Man, I do dishes. But we honestly, is it true that we come to this place of being trained on performance? If you do this, you'll get that. And church, what happens when that creeps in to who we are in Christ. Because I want you to see something here. This is so good. Even when, verse 5, even when we were dead in our transgressions. Does that say, Sean, you had to be right before I came to you? Sean, you were a mess, and I can't do nothing with you until you get it right. Sean, you don't even know what you're doing. Sean, you are such a mess. Listen, I can't do nothing with you until you fix you. Sean, when you start getting things in order, Sean, watch this. Hey, Sean, when you start performing better, that's when I'll make you alive in Christ. Hey, Sean, when you start putting your things in right order, hey, when you start following my rules and regulations, Sean, that's when I'll come to you. Sean, when you get your performance right. But church, this is so much of what we buy into. That we actually have bought into a lie, that we think our relationship with Christ is based off of my performance. When the reality, it's based off my position. Because he came to you and you were just an absolute mess. He came to you when you were already dead in your transgressions. Watch this. Even when we are dead in our transgressions, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised up. What? Look at our position. Raised up with him, seated us with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he may show the surpassing, watch this, he may show the surpassing riches of his grace. Church, what happens when we go way past just the definition? What happens when we go way past, well, I know that I can't earn it, I know I don't deserve it, and I can never pay it back. It's good. No, what happens when you know, no, this is what grace did for me. This is what grace took me out of. Man, I deserve this, but I've been given this. I deserve damnation, but I've been given heaven. I deserve to be with Satan forever, but I now have been given a life of eternity with Jesus Christ. This is where I'm seated. This is what grace has done for me. This is what I deserve, but this is what I have been given. And it is a free gift. This is what I have received. I love this. Watch this. That he may show the surpassing riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. When you think about grace, we think about Jesus. The picture of grace in his richness is Christ on a cross. I don't deserve that. I didn't earn that. I'm amazed that he would die for me. But I love it, church, when you begin to buy into the truth of what it says, that he is towards me. His grace is towards me. The creator of the universe is for me, and he is towards me, and he has good for me, and he wants me, and he desires me, and he pursues me, not because I have anything to offer him, not because of my performance. Every day we would fail. He pursues me because of his great love toward me. What happens when you come to this place to know I never deserved it? I know what I deserved. But I also know what I received. And it's because of his grace. It's because of his kindness. It's because of his great love towards me, that my God is towards me and he's for me. And church, it's not on your good days. It's not because you had a good week. Well, I had a good week. I don't think I gossiped. I don't think I lied. I don't think I slandered anybody. I don't think I looked at filth. I don't think I was mean. I thought, so, but wow, he must really love me this week. I done good. High five, man. You must really be towards me this week because I think I done good. But you guys, that can that can creep into the church. To think that our performance matters. And God's like, hold on, Sean, wait. Wait. You see, Sean, when you were dead in your transgressions, that's when I made you alive in Christ. For my grace has saved you. What? Is this too good to be true? Could it really be true? I've been performance-based all my life. In the world sense, I get rewarded when I perform right. Until you really, and here this isn't the downer, until you really realize we are rotten to the core until Jesus. And even, watch this, even as a believer, man, even as a Christian, one who's come to be a follower of Christ, we can still buy into a performance base. I think I've done good this week. When you come to a place to say that in the ages to come that he may, or I can say now that he has shown the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness towards me in Christ. Here it is. For by grace you have been saved through faith. For by grace you have been saved through faith. It is not of yourselves. It can't be by your performance, because it's a free gift of God. It's a free gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. Church, what happens when you begin to really understand the reality of grace? Yeah, there's times that I think this is too good to be true because my performance has been so bad. Maybe you're in this place and you're like, man, it's been a real long time. It's been a long time since I've understood about my position and not my performance. And I have been, watch this, I think there's so many times, please hear this because we got to get this. I think there's so many times, church, that we're the ones who distance ourselves from him because we know our performance. We know our sin. And in that, it causes you and I to cause distance. When I just see this, I just feel the Spirit screaming at me going, Sean, stop. Listen, I know your performance. I know your thoughts. I know every word you speak. Your performance ain't all that. But your position is in me. And in me, there's grace. It was never about your performance, Sean. You didn't come to be based on your performance. You didn't come to me based on your good order in life. Remember, you came to me because you were broken. And you knew sin separated you from me. And it was by grace, my grace, my loving kindness that was towards you that got you saved. It was never your performance. Church, how many times, even in our sin, that we just drag it along, and we keep our sin, and we just keep trying, and we try to cut it, and we try to stop, and we try to cut it, and we just do it in our own power, where we just keep trying. And I just believe that if we would just stop trying to be right, stop trying to perform right, and you come to a place, say, no, I get it now. It's by his grace. It's because my position is in him. When the Father watches, when the Father sees me, he sees his Son, who put himself on a cross for me. And it is through that amazing, beautiful work of grace that I am free. And I don't have guilt, and I don't have shame, and I don't have condemnation. Why? Because of grace. Because of grace. And we get so caught up in performance. This morning, grace is about your position. It's not about your performance. And when you can come to a place of reality today to say, okay, I'm done trying. I need to just have a true release to say it's never been about my performance. It's always been about His performance on a cross. I love what verse 9 says, so that no one may boast. Trust me, church, there will be nobody, absolutely nobody in heaven that has a right to say they made it there by themselves. Nobody in heaven will say, I did this and I did, man, I was good. I was good enough. But what happens when you honestly, you come to a place to realize I've never been good enough and I never will be good enough, and my performance has messed up my theology. For it is because of His grace that I'm saved. And I want us to look more to our position in Christ than to our performance with or without sin. Romans 5:20 says, where sin abounds, watch this, His grace abounds much more. Where sin abounds, God's grace. What happens, church, when you begin to understand? You can never out-sin His grace. For where sin abounds, His grace abounds much more. When you have a realization that I am in Christ and that is my position, you come to a place that to know the depth of His grace, it should put us on our face. It should drive us to a place of worship. It should drive us to a place of thanksgiving. It should drive us to a place of obedience. Nowhere is this a license to sin. When you walk in that right relationship with Him, you want to hate sin. You want to walk away from sin. But it's truly by an understanding of His grace. He loves me. Church, He loves me. Yeah, but Sean, I saw what you did, man. I saw how you treated that person. Yeah, so did he. And you know what? He loves me. Yeah, but Sean, what about? He loves me. Man, we are called to repent from sin. We're called to turn, confess sin. But we come to a place to realize He loves me. Even on my bad day, He loves me. Even in my sin, He loves me. Why? Because it's grace. It's grace. It's not performance, church. It's grace. And to know He loves me. No matter what you did yesterday, last night, this morning, a week ago, He loves you. He loves you. And it's based on His grace. It's not based on your performance. That we leave today saying, man, He loves me. And it's my position in Him that I live for. It's not my performance. I can't boast I was ever good enough. No one's going to get to heaven and say, I did it. We're going to get to heaven and fall on our face to be amazed at what He's done. Come on, if we could just stand to our feet, please. We come to a place this morning to say, where are you in this today? Are you amazed by His grace? Can you say, man, is it too good to be true? Had it not been for His love, I would say it's too good to be true. But when you know God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, and whoever believeth on Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Do you know Christ today? Not based on your performance, not based on being good enough, not based on going to religion, not based on going to church, not based on your attendance here at BC, not having to do with any money that you've given or how generous you are. Do you know Christ and why we need grace and the depth of His grace? I know I deserved death, but put the grace of God. He loves me. Not because I've been a good boy. Not because of my performance. He loves me because of His grace. And He is towards me. And if you're in this place this morning as we sing, I'm begging you, please, have a release today. If there's been something that has been holding you down, there's been something of your performance that you think that you need to separate yourself from God, I'm begging you, man, let it be your position in Him that draws you near to Him. He knows everything about you. And as we sing, we come to this place to realize today, man, it's my position in Him. And His grace is enough. And His grace is amazing. His grace is amazing. Come on, let's sing Amazing Grace this morning.